I think last time you were here, we were talking about something sports related. So I got to ask you about the World Series. You're originally from Florida.
Yes.
So are you a Marlins fan, even though you're living in Vegas now?
You know, not an avid Marlins fan. No.
Is there any such thing?
That's a good question. I just enjoy watching, you know, games when it comes down to the crunch. You know, I just wanted to see a nice World Series. It was weird when the Yankees beat the Red Sox. One of the announcers said this like it was a very serious fact. He said, "The last time the New York Yankees have been to the World Series was in the year 2001. Wow. What a drought. And they finally got the monkey off their back, you know?
There's a great history moment to remember.
There were newborns that were wondering if they'd ever see the Yankees in the World
That's
Series.
That's true. Your six-week-old daughter has never seen the New York Yankees win a World Series.
You know, I like watching announcers. I liked watching Tim McCarver, one of the announcers for the World Series. He's very, very good at what he does, very gifted, and he has so much information, man. I'm envious. He would have tidbit facts about everybody, you know, and I don't know, like the other announcer will go, "There's a foul ball going back. Whoa, that almost hit that vendor." That vendor's name is Bob McEdwards. He moved to the area in 1987. He's originally from Cleveland. He works in the textile industry. He doesn't need the vending job. He just likes to come out here and have a good time. Like, wow.
Yeah.
How do you know this?
Yeah.
So he's good. Did you know, I actually have been doing some reading about broadcasters. Did you know that Mike Wallace started out in his career as a game show host? Very early in his career.
I didn't know that. I know he did some commercials early on, but I didn't know he did game shows.
He did a game show, and I don't remember what the name of the game show was, but it just made me wonder, you know, what would happen at the beginning of the game shows when the contestants tell about themselves?
Mm-hmm.
Number one, why don't you tell us about yourself? My name is Biff Stevenson. I'm from Buffalo, and I like bowling. Well, we have documents that suggest you've never been bowling. Well, I mean, I do want to go bowling, and you're really not from Buffalo. You're actually from Lackawanna, aren't you? Yes, technically, but I figured Buffalo was a bigger city. Well, why would you say you're from Buffalo? I just want to spin the wheel. May I just spin the wheel?
Mike would be tough on him. Yeah. I don't think you'd get that if Morley Safer were the host.
Morley Safer would just let him spin.
Let him go. Buffalo bowling.
Yeah, I believe you. I believe you're from Buffalo when you bowl. Go ahead. Have some fun. Try to win some money. Mike Wallace, he won't let it go.
No, he won't. Were you a big sports player when you were, I'm guessing as a kid, you looked like an athletic guy. Did you play in any teams?
I played Little League Baseball. I played football in high school and in college.
Wow.
And in semi-pro. I played semi-pro
Wait a second. I've known you for a long time. I never knew you were a semi-pro football player.
Well, you know, who has semi-pro football cards? You know, I don't know if there are any Brian Regan semi-pro football cards circulating.
Somewhere your rookie card is worth a lot of money.
Yeah, right. I play, you know, the reason that no one would know is, first of all, it was semi-pro. And secondly, it was a league that lasted maybe 2 years. And I only played for about a week and a half, you know. I went to this big tryout and I got invited to camp. And while I was at camp, I ended up getting cut from the team.
Oh.
Which is, you know, but... You know, what was weird is like it was a low budget kind of thing. You know, they had some helmets with face masks and some helmets without face masks. I'm not making this up. My helmet had no face mask, you know, and they were like, the face masks are coming in as soon as we, you know, after our first game, we'll maybe make some money and we'll buy face masks for the rest of you football players. Well, I was a wide receiver with a helmet with no face mask.
Uh-oh.
And I'm doing slant passes over the middle during practice and, you know, a little tentative. With big giant linebackers who had face masks. And I was wondering why the coaches were like, how come you dropped that pass? Because I don't have a face mask.
And he has an elbow.
And he has, and he has an elbow. And I don't know a lot about science, but elbow trumps face with no face mask.
Maybe that should have been an indication to you that perhaps you weren't cut out for this.
Oh, my gosh.
Or that you weren't going to make the team. Maybe they only gave the no face mask masks to guys who had no chance of making the team.
Maybe that was the writing on the wall. Plus, we had a coach. Our head coach was, I don't remember his name, a good guy, but kind of confusing. I remember at the end of practice, he would all want us to run, and he would line us all up, you know, on the 20-yard line. We're all lined up, and here was, I'm paraphrasing, but this was basically his explanation. All right, guys, we're going to do some running. What I want from you guys, I want, like, I don't want it to be an all-out sprint, but I don't want it too relaxed. I want a full-on, relaxed sort of sprint. I want it to be a fast sprint, like a jog. I don't want you to hurt yourself, but don't go too slow. I want a full-on, full-out sprint, relaxed jog. And then he'd blow the whistle, and some people are hauling, some people are just standing there. What do you want from us, coach?
Yeah, more of a canter? Is that what you're looking for?
Some people are dancing, doing the foxtrot. A full-out, relaxed jog sprint.
Were you depressed when you were cut from the team?
I kind of knew it was coming. They have a coach that goes around. They had put us up in apartments, and the coach came around. And, yeah, it's got to be the hardest job in the world, telling somebody they're cut.
Yeah.
And so I didn't want his job to have to be any more difficult than it was. But he knocked on the door, and he came by. And what was interesting, he never used the word cut. He's like, Brian, well, just came by to give you the word. You know, and that was – I knew what he meant. So I was like, I understand, coach. But looking back on it, I was like, man, I should have ran to the phone. Mom, Dad, I made it. He's right here. He just gave me the word. You want to talk to him? Dad, go ahead and schedule the operation. He's right here. He just gave me the word.
Yeah, I'm starting. Yeah, and then see how he gets out of that. If he has to do that, no.
I got to give you another word.
Yeah.
You have a dictionary. Look up the word cut. You've been cut, son. Trying to be diplomatic.
Well, would there have been money in this? I mean, how can you make a living doing semi-pro football? Or
I think the way it was supposed to be is that the players would each get, you know, it was like a really small, I don't know how many players an NFL team has, but we were going to have less than what an NFL team would have.
50 or 60, whatever it is, yeah.
We were going to have like 40-something.
Uh-huh.
And each player would get like 1% of the gate receipts, something like that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But, you know, I never had to concern myself with that because I had gotten the word.
You never had to go down to the stadium and count how many people were there.
Yeah, am I being ripped off?
What's 1% of 250 people on a good day for the semi-pro team? Well, with Brian Regan, who will be headlining the pageant on Saturday night here in St. Louis. And had his second baby. Well, his wife actually had their second child. They have a 4.5-year-old boy and now a 6-week-old daughter. Congratulations again on that.
Thank you.
And so your wife, I'm guessing, is not traveling. Since,
no.
Did she ever travel with you on the road?
Yeah. We used to travel together all the time. And then when Christopher, our boy, was born, you know, at first she couldn't travel. But then, like, once every couple of months, she'd, you know, join me on a gig.
Mm-hmm.
And before our daughter was born, a couple months before that, she was on the road with me recently. And about 2-3 months ago, and she was sitting by the sound booth. And, you know, when they bring you up, sometimes they bring you up to music.
Mm-hmm.
And she's sitting by the sound guy, and the sound guy asked Kathleen, what kind of music does Brian like? And she saw a Bee Gees CD, so she's like, she's just trying to be nice. She goes, I think he likes the Bee Gees. You know, she doesn't know why the guy's asking.
Mm-hmm.
So they introduce me, please welcome the comedy of Brian Regan, and I hear, more than a woman! More than a woman to me! Am I getting on stage? Like, what is this? Yes, I am more than a woman. And then I could hear them erupting in laughter in the back. The guy just picked a track at random, and that was the one he picked, you know?
Yeah, you don't have particular music that you choose ahead of time?
Well, now, I just say anything but more than a woman. Any other song in the galaxy
would be
fine.
How do you feel about Helen Reddy, I Am Woman? Would that be okay?
Yeah, maybe those two. I'd rather have nothing against woman.
No.
Woman, women. Sometimes true things are just, you know, like pretty funny.
I
was at a hotel in Boston recently, and the hotel room had a fireplace, you know, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a sign on the fireplace, please don't attempt to start a fire. If you'd like a fire, call down for assistance.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted a fire. So, you know, I called down. You know how sometimes you don't think through how you're going to ask for something?
Yeah.
So I swear this is how I asked. I said, I get on the phone, I go, can you send somebody up here to light my fire? And they're like, excuse me, Mr. Reagan? You heard me, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm looking for. You get somebody up here to light my fire. I want this room hot.
Let me get the concierge on the phone. I believe we have some women in the Rolodex who can work on that for you.
So, but, you know.
And then is there a designated fire guy in the hotel who comes up and does that for you?
It's a guy who comes up and lights a Duraflame log. You know, it sounds a lot more interesting than what it ends up being.
It really did turn out to be, yeah.
It's just a guy with a Duraflame log.
You know? Yeah. Why do you suppose they won't let you do it?
I don't know, but I guess for safety reasons, he's the official Duraflame log lighter. They want our hands out of that fireplace.
Yeah. And then they leave the fire in your hands at that point.
Yes. Good luck with it. Don't let it get out of control. So we have two kids now. I love reading. You got to read to your children.
Yes.
If you have children out there, read to them right now. I put my little boy on my lap. I don't know who's writing books for toddlers and stuff, but I want a piece of that financial pie. I put him on my lap with his big cardboard book, The Clock. Then I turn this big giant page, The Big Clock. Then I turn another big page, Tick Tock. Then I turn another page, The End. And then I look on the back, $12. Are these guys mingling with other authors?
Yeah.
Hey, I read your book, The Clock. That is a real page turner. That surprise ending, I'm thinking, ticking when you came with talk. I didn't see it coming, man. I don't know how. I'm thinking tick, tick, but you did something. You twisted it.
Yeah.
You that twirled is, it. You flipped it.
That is your brilliance, yeah. Children's books do seem to be remarkably simple. And then every celebrity tries to write. You know, Madonna wrote one. All sorts of people write one. And I guess people buy them because they're celebrities. But a lot of the books that are out there, you're right, it's, you know, Pat the Bunny. Do you have that one in your house?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, you open it up and look, here's fabric the kid can touch.
Well, some of them, like,
there's a zipper on the next page. Woo!
Which is good, you know, for kids. I mean, little, especially infants, you know, and now that we have a new little baby girl, we're getting those little books.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them are like literally like a picture and a word, you know, like it's just ball. Cat.
Right.
Duck.
Yep.
And then on the front, written by. I mean, how do you have the audacity to say you wrote a book? You assembled five words, man.
Yeah. Illustrated by is another thing. Right. The pictures are nice. That's fine.
Yeah, those are nice pictures.
But written by.
You know,
by.
I got on page six, I had writer's block. I couldn't really come. And then ball hit me. Then I'm thinking, ball. Now that's going to take this book to another level.
I was thinking of a football, but baseball
seemed
right. Let's see if we can get a picture of a baseball in there.
But, you know, it's good to be a parent. You know, you think childlike again. And we were out in a park, and we saw this other family with a, I don't know, five-year-old boy. He's holding a helium balloon, and he accidentally let go of the balloon.
Oh, the tragedy.
Exactly.
Oh.
And the boy, you know, started crying. And his parents were like, why are you crying? It is a balloon. We'll get you another one. Mm. And I'm like, hey, that's not cool.
Mm.
So it made me think, you know, sometimes I just don't think adults try hard enough to understand what kids are going through. You know, if you wanted to try to relate to what he was going through, imagine if you took your wallet out and it just started floating in the sky. Why are you acting like that? It is a wallet. I want that one! Well, that's what he's going through, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
It's all he wants in the world is his red balloon back.
And as a dad, if you have this happen with your kid, as you watch that balloon reach for the sky, you know that there is nothing you can do unless you've gotten it from the restaurant you have just left. You know, you've come out of a chain restaurant where they have balloons for the kids. If it happens right outside the door, okay, we can go back. Yes, well, all right, we'll go back and we'll see if they have another red balloon for you. But God forbid it happens when you get home. You know, you get out of the car at home, and then the balloon leaves.
I got to drive back to the mall and find a green balloon.
That's exactly what it comes down
to. A man
on
a mission. This just made me think. One time we bought a balloon. This isn't really a balloon joke, but it is. my wife and I were at an amusement park, and Christopher was with us. This is before Jillian was born. And a balloon guy came up, you know, with like, you know, 50, 60 balloons. And we bought a balloon for Christopher.
Yep.
But this guy had to, like, I don't even know if this is funny. But it was like, we said, yeah, I'll take the blue balloon. And he's like, okay, you want a blue balloon? All right, this is the string to the blue balloon. And then I gave him, like, a $10 bill. Okay, a $10 bill. And then this guy had to say everything that was going on in his mind. And then we walked away. My wife said, he's one of those people that has to verbalize every single thought that he has. I mean, he walked us through his entire thinking process.
Yeah.
Okay, you're giving me a 10. I'll put that right in here. I'll pull out a 5 and 2 more ones. And here's a quarter and another quarter. I don't need to know all this.
Maybe it's because he relates to kids all day long, and so he's thinking it out loud on their level.
Maybe so. Here's the blue balloon. I'm handing it to you, and you're taking it and giving it to your child. Okay, I think we're done.
And now I'm walking. I'm walking away. Here's my left foot. Here's my right foot.
And my left foot and my right.
Brian Regan at the Pageant on Saturday night, and more in a moment here on the Paul Harris Show. You're not spending as much time on the road as you used to years ago because you got the kids at home.
Right.
But do you still like doing all the traveling?
Sure. You know, I mean, it's at a pace that I like. I'm not out all the time, you know, and it's going pretty well.
Have the security concerns at the airports changed at all for you?
No. That's all fine, you know. And, you know, the thing that gets me is sometimes the businessmen at the X-ray area, you ever hear these guys talk about their computers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like making way too big a deal out of them. Excuse me, I have a computer. I have a computer here. I don't know how you're going to handle this, my computer. Oh, is he from the future? They've been around a while, pal.
Yeah.
I think they have a way to handle them.
Not the only one with the laptop at this point, sir.
We've seen these things here at the airport.
Yeah. And sometimes when you go through there, they'll ask you. You just have your regular stuff. They're almost in the habit of saying, do you have a laptop in there? Do you have a laptop in there? So it's a very common thing.
Right.
You know? No, this is my socks and dirty laundry. I'm coming home from vacation. I have no laptop. I'm not on business. This is just a pleasure vacation. Go ahead and look if you want, but there's no laptop in there, I promise you. And no nail clippers or box cutters. Go ahead. Take a look.
One thing I wonder is, when did wand become a verb? It just morphed into a verb. You mind if I wand you, sir? Hey, wand away, Merlin. Just don't AK-47 me. That's another verb. But they are nice. You know, they do a good job, and they're nice. Then they do ask you, which is polite, but you can't really say no, so I'm not sure why they're asking.
Right.
You mind if I wand you? I'd rather you didn't. All right, go ahead. You should be wanted, though. Well, I ought to wand you. I ought to wand you something good.
If I had your permission, sir, you'd be wanded right now.
No, he said no, sir, so we're not trained for that.
Have you ever had to take off any items of clothing or shoes or anything in the airport?
Oh, yeah, I've taken shoes off. And the belt thing is a little strange because different security people have different techniques. Some just tell you to flip it.
Yes.
Flip your belt buckle.
Right. And do you understand that, by the way?
No. I have no idea why. Flip it. You know?
Some sort of Mission Impossible world where people are carrying detonators and special buttons inside their belt buckle?
But, you know, and then at first when they told me to flip it, I'm thinking, am I not wearing my belt properly? I think the guy's giving me like a fashion choice. I'd flip the belt buckle, sir. You know, your belt buckle is backwards. Flip it and your shoes are on the wrong feet. But I've had another guy tell me to open the belt buckle and then open the belt. And it's like, well, how come the other guy just lets me flip it? And with you, I've got to unbuckle the whole thing.
You can't ask that question. You can think that question.
You're not allowed to say anything.
No, you can't ask that. Have you ever had to take the belt off?
I don't know if they've made me take the belt off. I've taken the belt off myself just to put it, just not to have to deal with it and put it in the gray bin.
I've never done it voluntarily. I've only done it when I've been asked. And one time when I did it, I forgot I had my cell phone clipped onto my belt. So, you know, I pulled the belt off and boom, right to the floor. Sir, you forgot your cell phone. Don't worry, you're not the first one today. We've had a whole bunch of idiots through here just like you.
You know, it's weird. It's like people aren't sure, well, what do you put in the gray bin? Some people take a jacket off. Some people take like, you know, a purse and put it in the gray bin. You know, it's like there's no real rhyme or reason to it. Some people take an incredibly amount, a large amount of things off. I've seen people put their glasses in, their belt, their wallet, their keys,
gum.
Their shoes, their gum. It's like, just go through and take your chances, you know? I wonder, like, if you just, like, actually took everything off but your underwear, you know, to take your Hager slacks and fold them up and put them in the gray bin.
Last time they beefed, I figured
yeah,
I just
put them through, you know? Whoever invented the gray bin is making $1 million. That guy's making a killing.
That's right.
Gray bin enterprises.
Let me get a plug in here for Brian, not only working the pageant on Saturday night, and there are still tickets available, 726-6161. Or go to the website, thepageant.com. Brian also has his own website, brianregan.com. When you go there, you can find out about the DVD he's working on.
Yes.
You're in the process of editing that?
Correct. We've shot it, and we're editing it right now. Hopefully, it'll be available soon.
Is that a full-length Brian Regan concert?
It'll be a 3-minute clip. I'm trying to edit it now, so it's like a good, tight 3 minutes.
That's good.
Right now, it's a little too loosey-goosey. it'll be me for, you know, an hour doing stand-up.
Are you doing commentary? Do you have a commentary track on your own DVD?
I don't know. We're figuring out what we're going to do for the bonus tracks, you know? I don't know what we're going to do yet.
Once you get it all edited down, you sit there and go, all right, here comes the... Oh, yeah. I've seen this bit before. This is good. Listen.
Yeah, you talk about commentary. One time, when I first started doing comedy, you know, I would tape my show, but tape recorders back then were pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want to bring it on stage because I didn't want it to be obvious. So I set my tape recorder off on the side of the showroom where no one was seated. Well, while they introduced me, apparently they sat a group of people there who didn't know I had a tape recorder. They're taping my set.
Uh-huh.
So I do my show. That night, I go back to my little studio apartment, and I want to listen to my set. And I turn it on, and I hear me doing, like, my first joke, and I hear, oh, brother. Wow.
Yeah.
I guess that joke is out of the show.
Yeah.
Oh, brother.
You should put that on the commentary track of this DVD. Tell that story, and then you probably still have that tape somewhere in the house.
Man,
bring that back out and play it. Always great to have you here. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
Brian
Appreciate
Regan on the Paul Harris Show.